Thanks for listening to the best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios. Car shopping can be confusing with terms like dealer price, list price, and invoice. TrueCar shows you what other people paid for the car you want so you can recognize a good price. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. So we're going to get to a lot of everybody's takes for the weekend that was, but I made a pronouncement yesterday on Twitter. I went to the game. It's 95 degrees. I mean, it feels like I'm watching a game on the surface of the sun. It's 95 degrees in the South, by the way, which is different than 95 degrees in, let's say, Las Vegas, where you're walking around in your Las Vegas and you're like, you know what? I mean, it's a dry heat. It's really not like it was 95 degrees in the South. All right. The hottest game that they've ever played in my hometown of Nashville at the stadium there. And coming into this game, the Colts have so owned the Titans that they are 18-3 in the last 21. It's hard to go 18-3 against an NFL team. Just, I mean, especially when you play twice a year and you see each other all that often. And two of those wins, by the way, for the Titans came, I think one of them was against Curtis Painter and the other one was maybe against Jacoby Brissett or whatever it was. Might have been Curtis Painter and two against Jacoby Brissett. Either way, Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning weren't playing in any of those three wins. And last year, the Colts came into Nissan Stadium, and if the Titans had won, they would have made the playoffs, and instead the Colts won, and then the Colts go on, and Andrew Luck retires. But here's the deal. Andrew Luck has retired. The Colts are coming off of a loss in overtime, having traveled all the way from the West Coast. They're two in a row on the road. The Titans are at home. They are the favorite. And the Titans choked it away and lost. And I swear that this is true. I made this decision. You guys can tell me what you think about it. I will never, ever, ever for the rest of my life, however that long could be, and sometimes at 4:30 a.m. when I have to crawl out of bed, I don't think that my life is going to go that much longer anyway. But however much longer I live, I will never go to another Colts-Titans game. The Titans are now 3-19 in the last decade and change against the Colts. And the only time they have won those games has been because Curtis Painter or Jacoby Brissett starting. Jacoby Brissett, by the way, two turnovers. Titans had complete control of this game, miss a field goal. Even Adam Vinatieri, who may be retiring today, there's reports out there that Adam Vinatieri may retire, misses two extra points. Leaves the door wide open. The Titans look like they've never had a two-minute drill before. I'm done. Now, the Titans play against the Jags on Thursday, but I'm done with Colts-Titans games. I'm never going to one for the rest of my life. I don't care if it's in Nashville and it's the AFC Championship game. The Colts own the Titans. They might as well be stamped as the owner and get to vote for the Titans when it comes to every major decision that will be made. I don't believe it's ever going to change. I think the Colts are a well-run franchise. I think the Titans are a disaster of a franchise in general. And I think it plays out every single week, twice a year when they play, such that I will never go to one of these games again. I'm like Charlie Brown. I think to myself, this is the year. Andrew Luck has retired. The Colts aren't that good. The Titans are favored to win the game, playing at home. They're retiring Steve McNair and Eddie George's numbers for all time. Everything is set up for a win, and the Titans still lose. What do you think about my retirement? We talked about fan retirement before,
yeah.
But I'm retiring from this game. I'm not saying I'm not going to watch. I'll put it on my television to see how the Titans are going to lose and the Colts are going to win, but I can watch a lot of other NFL games that are going on simultaneously. One of the challenges of going to a game in general is you miss being able to see how all the other games go out, because usually I'm sitting around watching NFL Red Zone, so I'm kind of keeping tabs on all the early games. Now, I watched all the late games, and I watched Sunday Night Football, but I didn't see the early games because I went to one, and I'm done. I mean, some people are like, oh, this is just hyperbole. No, I am never going to another Titans-Colts game for the rest of my life. I'm 40. If I live to be 85 or 90 or 100 or whatever it is, I will never attend another one for the rest of my life. I'm over it. 3-19, this broke me. Maybe it was 95 degrees. Maybe it was having six third graders with me. Maybe it was just the Titans choking in every respect when they had a chance to win the game. I'm done. I will never go to another one. Do you believe me? My wife doesn't believe me, I swear. I said, I swear to you, I will never go to another one.
I would like to believe you, except for the fact that when Mariota sat out of that playoff game, you quit on him. Remember, you came on this show and you said, that's it.
Oh, I'm pretty much done. I'm pretty much done with Mariota now. I had a small blip of possibility with him with the way the Titans played against the Browns, but he was so bad yesterday that I'm done with him. And the thing is, I want it to appear that the players care as much as the fans do. That's really my only request. And I don't really think most players do. I think it's just a job for them. I am insanely competitive in what I do, right? When you look at the number of hours that I work in my chosen field, I am insanely competitive. And I think a lot of people in the world just have jobs. They don't really care about them. They don't really care how good they are at it. They don't really commit on a high level to being excellent. And that's fine. Some people work till they work just to get to the time where they don't have to work. And I don't begrudge people. But with what I do, I put everything I have into the amount of work that I do. And all I request when I'm watching an athlete is the feeling that they're putting every single ounce, that they work as hard at their job as I do at mine. And if you work hard at your job, I think you oftentimes feel the same way that I do. You're not asking for perfection. You're not asking for flawlessness. But you're just asking that the effort level, if I'm going to put my energy into rooting for you to succeed, I want you to work as hard at what you do as I do at what I do. That's the standard that I have. And I think that a lot of guys don't, honestly. And I think that that oftentimes I see that. And I think excellence is difficult and perfection is obviously a high standard. But I don't see it. I don't see it from Mariota. I don't think he cares that much. And in the end result, when you're in your fifth year in this league and you have, for people who watch this game, when you have a two-minute offense and you ground the ball on, first of all, two-minute offense, all right? What do we pay quarterbacks for? This is the first question that I think is really important. What are you paying for? To me, you're paying for the mind. The arm and everything else is great. What I am paying a quarterback for is his mind. I'm not paying for his arm. I'm not paying for his legs. I'm not paying for whether or not his thumb is okay and like his physical health and everything else. All that's great. But ultimately, all of that is subordinate to his overall mind. And just using the way the game ended with the Titans and the Colts, you get the ball left. Okay, two-minute offense, I think you can see so much about how somebody's mind works. You have to process information so much faster in the two-minute offense. So let me give you an example of somebody who is just making bad decisions, all right? With 1 minute and 7 seconds left, the Titans take over possession in their two-minute offense. Because Vinatieri has missed two extra points, the Titans just need a field goal. And they take over at like the 28-yard line. So they don't even need that many yards in that scenario. What do you need? Maybe 30 yards? Like, you can attempt one probably if you get around 33, 34 yards, okay? And you have a minute 7 to go 33 or 34 yards. You know this as you run out onto the field, okay? The first play, you don't have somebody open, and so Mariota drops the ball. He throws it 2 yards to his tight end who gets tackled. There's a no timeout situation. You can't make that throw, okay? As a quarterback, if you see that, you just throw it into the ground at the feet of the tight end and you save yourself 20 seconds. You can't make a 3-yard throw to start a 2-minute offense. And from that point forward, they were scrambling and they were out of sorts. I mean, I believe I'm correct in this. In a minute seven, the Titans ran four plays. I think I'm correct, other than the spike to stop the clock. How do you only get four plays off in a minute seven and have the game end? I mean, the intelligence and processing ability was not there. And you ground the ball on third and two to set yourself up a fourth down play where, I mean, again, it's just the intelligence and the decision-making aren't there. And if I'm paying for your brain, I'm not getting my money's worth. And so those are the kind of things that drive me insane, because that's a decision that you can't do it. You just can't do it. And so I'm not going anymore. I think the definition of insanity is expecting things to change, even though they've happened the same time over and over and over again. And I'm not going to make the drive downtown. I'm not going to pay for the tickets. I had bought 8 tickets in this game, right? I got tickets for 6 kids, my wife and me, and I didn't get my money's worth. I got the same old movie that I've seen time after time after time, and combined with the fact that it was 95 degrees and the way that game ended, I'm not going to this game anymore. So for the rest of my life, I will not go see a Titans-Colts game. I don't think there's any point. The Colts are going to win. They own the Titans. You buy me? You buy it?
Well, a lot of it is your emotion pouring over.
No, it's not.
You healed, because when I asked you about Tennessee basketball, because that's the last time we had this discussion on the show where you said you felt like you were going to retire as a fan.
Yeah.
And now when I asked you about it recently, you said, well, Tennessee basketball, there's hope there. So you already kind of changed on that. So you might feel different when there's some time.
No, I'm not. I'm straight up never going to another one of these games again for the rest of my life. Not going. I mean, I'm a season ticket holder. I'll give those tickets
away.
So they're
just like an extra preseason game to you whenever the Colts are on the schedule.
No, it's not it's just a loss.
Well, what
just
I mean is you're not going to use
the
tickets.
You have 16 NFL games.
Right.
I'll just go ahead and write an L in for both those games. Like, they're 3-19, which, again, should be almost impossible to do in an NFL context.
Well, I'm talking about since you're a season ticket holder. Like, you obviously don't use your preseason seats.
Oh, I'll give them to somebody else. Yeah. I'll give them to a family member.
What if the Titans get a different quarterback next year? Would that change for you?
First of all, I don't. Who are they going to get? They're going to if anything, they will let Mariota go. If I were projecting right now, I think that they will let Mariota go, and they'll keep Ryan Tannehill, and they'll be 7-9, 8-8, or 9-7. I mean, this is the curse of the Titans, right? I mean, they have been 9-7 for 3 straight years, which is the worst record you can be pretty much in the NFL, because typically 9-7 is not really good enough to get you into the playoffs, but you also get a crappy draft pick.
Yeah, that's a great
point.
So
it's like you're stuck in perpetual mediocrity where nothing is changing and you don't make the playoffs, but you also don't get a very good draft pick. So I think if I were projecting right now, they'll let Mariota go, because I don't think through 2 games, we'll see what happens. Again, they play on Thursday and this is a contract year, and I feel kind of the same way about Winston. I don't think that anything either of these guys has done is worthy of a $25 million a year contract. And that's what a starting quarterback in the NFL at a minimum is going to want. I don't really think there's anybody out there who's going to pay either of these guys a lot of money elsewhere. So I guess there's the possibility that they get, they're not going to get franchised, but that they agree to like a $15 million deal. And then you just kind of continue this never ending story of, are they good or are they bad? But, no, I'll just give away the tickets for the Colts-Titans. Dub, do you buy it? Did you go to this game? Oh, by the way, I saw Jason Martin. He was actually sitting in my section at the game. I didn't know he was there. And he's getting married on Sunday. You're coming into town, right, Danny G?
Yeah, I'm going to fly into Nashville on Saturday.
So how long are you staying here?
Until Tuesday.
So kind of important. Are you working here?
So Monday I took as a vacation day because I figure we're going to be drinking Sunday evening. Tuesday.
By the way, you know who's going to be working?
I know you are.
Yeah.
But your wife's going to be with you, right? So you can always kind of scoot out when you want to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Uber doesn't exist. I mean, like, yes. So first of all, Danny G hasn't told me that he's coming to Nashville or
I was going to talk about it on the show today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or that he's taking Monday off. So you're taking Monday off. Are you taking Tuesday off,
no,
too?
No, Tuesday I'm going to be working in the studio with Dub.
You're coming into the Nashville studio.
Yeah.
You're going to see that just total crapola place.
I can't wait.
It's like 1974.
I'm going to try the phone system out for myself.
Yeah, that's going to be a disaster. So you're coming into town on Saturday.
Yeah.
You're taking off Monday, and you're going to come work on Tuesday morning.
Yep.
And then you fly back on Tuesday?
Yeah.
And then you're back on Wednesday?
Yeah, Dub doesn't know yet, but he's going to take me to the airport after the show on Tuesday.
All right. Well, that is good. And you're bringing a date?
No, I'm going solo.
Interesting.
I'm gonna find my Tennessee wife.
Yeah. All right. So you're going solo. All right. So Dub, do you believe that I'll ever go to? Did you go to this game?
No, I did not. I was parked on the couch.
All right. So I mean, tell me. I mean, it is insanely hot here right now, right? I mean, I know it's supposed to be moving up on fall. What's the first day of fall? September 21st. It is like scorching hot. I don't know how hot it is in the rest of the country, but this was literally the hottest Titans game of all time. So I think I sweated out like 10 pounds of water. But do you believe that I'll never go to another game?
I mean, I believe if the trend continues, you won't. But, I mean, let's just imagine if the Titans get a little hot streak going, win 4, 5, 6 in a row, then I think those
against
thoughts
the
of
Colts?
You, against the Colts, yeah.
It's never going to happen.
Well, if it did, I think
it's
maybe.
It's in my life, the Titans will never win 5 or 6 games in a row against the Colts. I'm not sure they'll ever win 3. But I would bet an inordinate amount of money that the Titans will never win 5 or 6 in a row against the Colts. I don't think they've ever done it. I mean, 3-19 in the last 22 is almost – I mean, to put that in perspective, the Dolphins have been better against the Patriots than the Titans have been against the Colts.
Damn. That's absurd, man.
Think about how bad the Dolphins are and think about how bad that franchise has been. They are more successful against the greatest dynasty in the history of sports than the Titans have been against the Colts. I mean, that is just – it blows my mind. Eddie, do you believe me?
I don't.
Why do people not believe me?
Because ever is a really long time.
Not really that long when you look at my age.
You're not that old.
I'm 40. It's not that young anymore. And 22 games is a long time. I will never go again. I don't think that there'll ever be a time where they actually play a significant game in Nashville. And I'm certainly not going to Indianapolis to watch the game. But God forbid, that's just absolute misery. It's like trying to go watch the University of Tennessee play against Alabama in person. So no, I told my wife, I said, I will give you, because she like tweeted, no, you're just making this up. Like, I tweeted, I told her, I said, I will give you $10,000 in cash spend whatever way you want. If I ever go to another Colts Titans game, you get $10,000 in cash. Cause she called me on it. She said, no, it's not true. I said, I'm just telling you, $10,000 cash. Not happening. All right, when we come back, that is how frustrated I am. We got to get an update from Eddie. Roberto, do you believe? Does anyone on the show actually believe that I will not go?
Against the Colts, yeah, I kind of believe.
Thank you.
I kind of believe you.
Thank you. By the way, are you working on Monday?
Oh, of course, I'll be here.
Yeah, Eddie, you working on Monday?
Yes.
Yeah, Dub, you working on Monday?
Should be.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. All right, Eddie, what you got for me?
Well, on
by the way,
pause
for a second.
All right.
Monday is the biggest day that we work. Monday is the most important day on this
Danny
show.
Danny just got a drink, man.
The most important day on the show is Monday. The audience on Monday for this show is seismic beyond belief because everybody wants to come in and talk about college football and the NFL. The wedding is at 3:00 in the afternoon on Sunday.
That's insane.
3:00 in the afternoon. Even if you drink yourself into a comatose stupor, you can go to bed by 10:00. That's 7 straight hours of drinking that you could have. Do we even know, Jason Martin's, that there's going to be alcohol at Jason Martin's wedding?
Not sure, but this is my first time in Nashville, so I figured I would go out after the wedding.
You're coming in Saturday. You can go out Saturday night. I got to go to break. I'm blown away here. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio. More Andy Reid-like clock management issues for me when it came to the update. Let me go ahead and bring up Eddie. But by the way, Eddie,
yeah,
can you believe that Danny G is going to the same wedding as me which is a 3 o'clock in the afternoon wedding. It's not like it's a Sunday night wedding, right? And he's not coming into work, and I am coming into work on the Monday after the week. Like, literally, you understand this. You've been doing updates since you stepped off the beaches of Normandy and came back from D-Day.
Yeah.
Monday is massive on our in our universe,
most
right?
Most important, like, day of the week.
By far, the biggest audiences that we get are on the Mondays right after the NFL and college football. And unbelievably, Danny G is taking off that Monday because of he's going to a wedding, the same wedding that I'm going to be at.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, how drunk is he going to be? I mean, are you going to
We're not even sure. We're going to get
paramedics?
And again, even if that's true.
That's true.
The wedding starts at 3. So, I mean, you could drink for 6 straight hours and be done at 9.
I did. Obliterated.
Yeah. And still wake up and get in and show up at work pretty decently if you've got 6 hours of drinking.
Hugh Freeze went to work in a hospital bed, so, you know, you can wheel Danny G.
And a dental chair.
That's right. Can't forget
that. In Danny's defense, I am hating life right now, though, a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not a professional drinker like Roberto and Dub. They're used to doing shows hungover, but I'm not a big drinker like
they are. I think to Dub's credit, he comes to work drunk. I mean, but he shows up. May not be great work, but he's here.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Live from the Geico Outkick Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we're brought to you by TrueCar. When it comes to selling or trading in your car, you need to make good choices. And with TrueCar, you've got a star on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offer not available in all areas. What is available in all areas? How about Outkick? Several different things to get to. Let's dive into what I think the 3 or 4 biggest storylines of Sunday in the NFL were. First of all, the Patriots are as dominant of a team as we have ever seen in the history of bowl ending championships. It was an absolute drubbing of the Miami Dolphins, who I honestly feel like the Dolphins should be able to just say, hey, we don't want to play the next 14 games. We'll go ahead and put in the books, be 0-16. We want to draft Tua. That's where we are. Go ahead and write us up, ring us up. I don't know why Ryan Fitzpatrick would even want to play on this team. He's getting destroyed all over the field. The team's awful. Josh Rosen might, because he's got to prove whether or not he's worthy of being an NFL quarterback, but I don't think he could succeed right now with the Miami Dolphins. But in the meantime, one guy who continues to succeed, even though he's now been accused of rape in a civil lawsuit, is Antonio Brown. He played on Sunday in Miami. He caught a touchdown. This is what it sounded like when he caught his touchdown.
Brady takes the snap and retreats. He looks left. He fires the back shoulder. Yeah! Brown! Touchdown, Patriots! Inside the near left pylon.
Welcome to New England, kid. What a throw by the quarterback to the back shoulder.
Listen to that crowd roar. I mean, there were that many Patriot fans there and that many Patriot fans who had absolutely no qualms about cheering for Antonio Brown, even though down in Miami he is being investigated for a sexual assault here coming up by the NFL as part of a civil lawsuit that was filed against him last week. Reports are that the NFL investigators will meet with this woman who is accusing him of sexual assault on, I believe, today. I think she's going to talk to NFL investigators today. Then they would talk to Antonio Brown. I don't know how quickly a ruling could come in this case, but Antonio Brown is playing in the meantime. So that is one big story there. The other big stories, I would say, coming out of the NFL, irrespective of particular wins and losses for the week, is the health status of Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger. Drew Brees out of the game. Reports are he is staying in L.A. to meet with a hand specialist, maybe out as many as 6 to 8 weeks if his thumb is going to require surgery after he hit it on a helmet. Here is what Drew Brees said after the game.
Yeah, I really don't know at this point. So there's only so much you can do here other than just, you know, have the doctor look at it on the sideline. And again, I'm gonna see a hand specialist and get his opinion, and then we'll see what the next steps are. I am concerned. I'm hoping it's not too significant.
So that is changing everything for the Saints, who went on the road after their big win over the Texans, and you felt pretty good about their chances against the Rams, even though another blown call, Cam Jordan's scoop and score completely wiped off, even though it should have been a whistle was blown, took away that touchdown. I'm not sure that it would have mattered in the end as the Rams were a lot better. Certainly the Saints without Drew Brees don't look like a playoff team at all. There's a pretty substantial drop-off. And so we'll see exactly what is going to end up happening with Drew Brees. But not getting on the team plane and staying behind in L.A. to meet with a doctor who is a hand specialist in the Los Angeles area is clearly a ominous sign for the Saints season. Speaking of ominous signs, the Pittsburgh Steelers have started off 0-2. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks come on the road, beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger exits with an injury. This is what Mike Tomlin said after the game about that injury.
Do you have any idea, I know it's early, but about Ben's injury, if it could be?
I do not, no.
Is that it? That is the full sum there. But you've got two Super Bowl winning Hall of Fame quarterbacks both going out injured in week two action, and it looks like Drew Brees is going to be out multiple weeks. What exactly is wrong with Ben Roethlisberger, we don't know. But those are two stories that are obviously were worth monitoring on a really big level given the overall context of the NFL season. And last night, if you went to bed too early and you're just waking up with us, Sunday Night Football, the Falcons hosting the Eagles. The Eagles fought back to take the lead against the Falcons. And then this happens. Julio Jones, it's fourth down. Matt Ryan back to pass. This is what it sounded like on the Falcons radio network.
Snap to Ryan. Here comes Philly. Quick throw. This is Julio Jones. 45-40, 30, 25-20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Atlanta. Holy goodness smokes.
What a great call by either Matt Ryan or Dirk Cutter or both.
All right, I'm opening up the phone lines now. We don't have a single guest on Monday's show, as often is the case during football season. We just react to everything that took place in the NFL and college football. 877-996-6369. Controversy has erupted in hour one on this show. I was mentioning that I was at the Titans-Colts game, and when I'm there, I see Jason Martin. And I knew his wedding was coming up. Jason Martin's a former producer of this show. He's getting married on a Sunday at 3 o'clock. So Danny G is traveling in, and Jason Martin was telling me, hey, yeah, Danny G's coming in for the wedding. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. Well, that's good. And then this morning, Danny G tells me that even though the wedding's at 3 o'clock, he's not coming to work on Monday, even though I will also be at the wedding and I will also be coming to work because he says he's going to drink so much. Now, Danny G, I'm not going to go to you, but Dub, I'll start with you. First of all, your biggest takeaways from the NFL and college football and your takeaway on Danny G. And by the way, everyone out there can weigh in as well. I'm starting with Dub so he can field calls afterwards. 877-996-6369. Your reaction to the weekend that was in college football, what stood out in the NFL, what stood out to you the most, and your reaction to Danny G's taking Monday off, which for people out there who are like, well, it's just a Monday, Monday is literally the biggest day in what we do. Our audience and our ratings are through the roof every Monday because people want to react to football. Your reaction, Dub?
Well, I'll start off in the NFL because I didn't get a chance to watch too much college football because I myself was at a wedding in Atlanta. But NFL, first of all, I'll start with the bad. Kirk Cousins and Mitchell Trubisky are so bad, it's not even – I can't even believe how bad Kirk Cousins – I guess he's always been this bad. I thought he was pretty good a few years ago, but now he is just awful. 14 for 32, two interceptions. Now the good Patrick Mahomes, I think he could throw for 650 yards a game. I mean, if he wanted to.
Kansas City fans, I mean, he is effectively Tom Brady. I mean, for the next 15 years, as long as he's healthy, like, congratulations, you're going to win multiple Super Bowls.
Both weeks by halftime, he had over 300 yards and three touchdowns last week, four touchdowns in the first half of this week. I mean, I swear to God, he could throw for 7,000 yards in a season if he had to or wanted to.
And he did all that without Tyreek Hill, who a lot of people were like, oh, it'd be hard for the Chiefs' offense to make up if they had – remember when people were like, oh, if they have to release Tyreek Hill, everything's going to be different. Tyreek Hill's out, and it doesn't matter. That's how good of a player that Patrick Mahomes is right now. It doesn't even matter who he's throwing to.
Yeah, exactly. And the Cowboys looked good again, but I'm curious to see what they look like when they actually play a good team because they got Miami coming up, and then after that they go to New Orleans – who may be without Drew Brees. So a break there for the Cowboys. And then finally, I guess we'll find out week five against the Packers. But
I think the Cowboys are going to start 10-0. I was looking at their schedule last night. I mean, somebody pull up the Cowboys schedule right now. I don't have it in front of me, but I was looking at it. I think they're going to be 10-0, and then I think they go to New England. I think the Dallas – first of all, if Carson Wentz, watching him last night, is worth $32 million a year, and I don't begrudge anybody getting paid whatever their market will bear for them, then Dak Prescott – I know I made fun of this a while back. Dak Prescott might be worth $40 million a year. I mean, the way he's playing, he is putting this team on his back, and he is performing at an insanely high level. Essentially, ever since they got him, Amari Cooper, he's been unstoppable. I mean, effectively. I mean, that changed everything for this offense. Maybe the greatest trade in the last decade in the NFL when you go and look at how much a difference everything has been. All right, run through the Cowboys schedule with me right now. So, obviously, they're 2-0.
Yep.
They play the Dolphins next.
Yeah.
All right. So they're going to beat the Dolphins 100-0. Yep.
All right. Then they go to New Orleans.
Okay. They go to New Orleans with Teddy Bridgewater because I don't think there's any way Drew Brees is playing. That's a win.
Yep. Then they host the Packers.
I think they'll beat the Packers in Dallas.
They go to New York or New Jersey for the Jets.
Yeah, they'll beat the Jets.
Then they host the Eagles.
I think that that'll be a big game and obviously a big game in the NFC East, but I think they will beat the Eagles.
Okay. And then they play the Giants.
They'll beat the Giants again.
Then they host the Vikings.
I think they'll beat the Vikings.
They go to Detroit to play the Lions.
They should. I mean, that's a game they could lose.
Yeah.
Just because you'll be like, what would they be at that point? Like 8-0, and they just don't show up, and
could
it's the
be,
Lions.
Yeah, it could be a trap game because the following week they play the Patriots, so they might look past the Lions.
Yeah, so, I mean, I could see them losing to the Lions, but otherwise I think that they will be undefeated when they play the Patriots.
Yep, that next week they go to New England. Then after that, they host the Bills.
Yeah, that's a win.
Then they go to Chicago.
I think they'll beat the Bears.
Then they host the L.A. Rams.
I think they'll beat the Rams.
Then they go to Philly to take on the Eagles.
I think they'll probably lose that one.
And then they close out the season hosting the Redskins.
Yeah, they'll beat the Redskins. I think they're going to go 13-3 or 14-2. Maybe 12-4. But I think the Cowboys will have home field in the NFC playoffs right now. I think I said this last week, and there's nothing that's changed my mind. I think it's going to be Patriots against the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. Down in Miami, Patriots, Cowboys. The two most hated teams in the NFL are going to meet up. Fox executives will love it. I'll hate it because I don't like either team, really. Kind of grudgingly respect the Patriots. Just want somebody else to win for a change. And the Cowboys, their fan base drives me insane. But so I think it's going to be Patriots, Cowboys. All right, what is your biggest takeaway from the weekend that was Eddie Garcia?
All right, well, I always laugh when these arguments come up, but they come up from time to time on Sports Talk Radio. Could Clemson or Alabama beat the worst team in the NFL?
Yeah.
I'm starting to wonder about the Miami Dolphins a little bit. They are beyond
They are
awful.
So bad.
I mean, they are beyond awful. You talked about the Cowboys. I wonder if Kellen Moore is going to be the next Sean McVay. The way he has had
he's still only 30 years old, but he's the next wonder kid, maybe, like offensive genius.
Maybe. I mean, he seems to have worked wonders very early with Dak Prescott. I mean, he looks amazing so far. And we talked about Adam Vinatieri. Looks like he may hang it up. 1-for-3 on field goals, 2-for-5 on extra points. 46 years old, 24 seasons in the NFL. A Hall of Famer,
I mean,
but
46.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
He said that he was going to talk to the media today, even though they have an off day. And speculation is he's going to go ahead and say this is it.
Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by that. What do you think about the Roth? I'm sure you were watching the Steelers. What do you think about the Big Ben situation?
There was never any definitive hit or when that may have happened. So it was odd. He was just, next thing you know, you see him shaking his arm like he couldn't get feeling in it. I thought that Mason Rudolph actually looked really good. The offense actually moved the ball when he got in the game. I'm actually more concerned about the Steelers' defense, to be honest with you. Their tackling is not at a professional level. So
it's never good when you're a professional and your tackling isn't at a professional level. All right, what do you think, by the way, about did you give an answer, Dub, about Danny G not showing up Monday?
I did not, but I will now. I mean, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking me and Danny G can hit the town Sunday night. We just both show up wasted on Monday. Take some calls, give some takes, and I think it'd be a great show.
I mean, the wedding's at 3. I don't understand.
I don't live there the way you do, though,
well,
Clay.
Why does that matter?
Because you say, go out Saturday night. I'm traveling all
Saturday.
Why would
you not? First of all, why would you not travel on Friday? Most people who are going to go away for a weekend decide to come in, leave work on Friday.
Oh, I would have loved.
Danny G has to work, man.
Well, that and also the flights were probably 5 times more expensive on Friday as they were on Saturday.
All right, so you are coming in on Saturday.
Yep.
You can go out as late as you want on Saturday.
Not really, because we have to look halfway decent at the wedding.
The wedding is at 3.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go out and have fun on the town on Saturday night.
You can stay out till 4 a.m. and still sleep for 8 hours and have 3 hours to get ready.
I'm not going to go to a wedding hungover. I thought I was doing the responsible thing by taking Monday off as a vacation day.
Eddie.
Like, I'm a visitor. I'm out of town at a wedding.
Yeah, but the wedding's at 3.
Yes, Clay.
What do you think about this?
I've been to a couple of holiday parties with Danny G, and he didn't get drunk at all. I'm wondering if there's something going on in his life.
Oh,
where
you think there's some secret, like maybe he's got something that's up.
I'm just curious because, like I said, I've been to a few holiday parties with him, and he never, you know, really went crazy or anything. I just wonder what's going on.
But for people out there who don't realize, like, Monday on our show is, in football season, massive, right? Like, I'm trying to think of if somebody else has another kind of – this would be like an NFL player being like, my buddy's got a wedding on Saturday. I can't make the game on Sunday. And you're like, what are you talking about? You can't make the, well, my buddy's got a wedding, and, you know, what do you think? I'm going to drink, your job is to be there when the audience is there. This would be like if I called up Scott Shapiro and I was like, hey, Super Bowl's going on. I don't want to get up the next day and do the show. And he would be like, well, you realize that the biggest audience that ever listens to the radio show is the Monday after the Super Bowl. I'll be like, yeah, it's the Monday after the Super Bowl. But I want to have a couple of extra drinks. I don't want to get out of bed on the Monday after the Super Bowl.
You bring up Scott Shapiro.
I haven't missed a Monday on this show since we started.
Okay, but in Nashville, I'm not going to be able to have the functions to do what I do here from Sherman Oaks. So Scott explained to me.
Why are you going in on Tuesday?
Because I spoke with Scott about what the schedule was going to be for Jason Martin's wedding. And I said I thought it would be cool to get to do one day with Dub in the Nashville studio.
But you're not going to do the one day when most people are listening. You're doing the day after the day that most people
are listening. We have diehard listeners who listen every single morning.
Mondays are massive. What do you think about this, Roberto?
I think Danny G can party hard on Sunday and then sleep on your couch and then do the show Monday right next to you.
I don't think we have 2 mics in my house. I got asked that question the other day. We had first of all,
That would have been cool, because then I could run up and down the stairs to get a banana and be out of breath like
read
you at the start of hour 2.
Read the paper. No, yeah.
You would probably you'd send me to go get your Wall Street Journal.
We don't have to. And the New York Times. I've already checked them today. Not a lot of news there. We don't have a lot of space here. And, I mean, in terms of we have had a lot of space, but I don't think I have 2 headsets here. And also, it would be really awkward. Because you're in my house, and you're just sitting here while the rest of my family is sleeping, like just then, sitting on my couch.
You'd be sitting next to Clay when he's doing his show in his underwear, probably.
That's right. I do most of the show in my underwear.
You should be applauding the fact that I didn't want to steal the company's money, because since Scott has to have somebody here sitting in my chair in Sherman Oaks on Monday, I told him, well, I'll just use a vacation day for that day. I'll have fun Sunday night. I figured I would meet my Tennessee wife. You would bring me to Broadway. You'd bring me to your bar, give me an open tab, and we'd have fun on Sunday night. You would go home, of course, because you're married. But I would have fun, and then I would come to work Tuesday morning, which means Monday night I can't go out because I'm going to be at work.
In Danny G's defense, he's not a drinker like me. I've been drinking since I was like 12. So
I want to unpack
best
all
for
of
him
this.
For
first of all, he
off.
Says he's saving the company money.
Yeah,
you're being paid even though you're not working because you're on vacation, and we are paying someone else to sit in your job. So you're actually costing the company
no,
money.
No, I worked so much last year that I gave vacation hours away. In other words, you can't carry over all of your vacation time. I didn't use all of my vacation time last
yeah.
year.
All right. That's play the violin in the background.
No, it's not.
Secondly.
Look, it's just I'm just explaining to you that, like you, we don't take a lot of time off. It's just not in the cards in radio.
Secondly, I want to unpack your analysis of your schedule. What time do you land on Saturday?
Boy, because there's a time difference. Let's see. It's going to be early afternoon.
Okay. So you can land on Saturday at, let's say you can be at a bar easily in Nashville by 6 p.m. on Saturday night. Fair?
Well, I think I would rather go to my hotel
all
and
right.
check in.
You can be at a bar by 8 o'clock.
Yeah, okay.
You can drink
yeah.
in Nashville
uh-huh.
from 8 to 3 a.m. 7 straight hours.
Yeah, but I won't have the bridesmaid with me yet. That happens on Sunday night.
All right, 7 straight hours. You get back to your hotel by 3:30. You said that you didn't want to be hungover and stuff. You can then sleep for 10 hours. Wake up at 1:30, have an hour and a half to get ready and get to the wedding, and have zero issues. The wedding is then at 3. Even if you drank for another 6 hours, which is a long time to be drinking at a wedding, and I can't imagine that this wedding will go. If the wedding's at 3, I can't imagine that this thing goes till midnight.
Well, I didn't think I was going to be out partying on Saturday night. I figured, once we talked about Jason's wedding this morning on the show, and you found out that I got there on Saturday, that you would invite me to a steak dinner on Saturday night.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
So my schedule was steak dinner with Clay on Saturday night.
Oh, nice.
Wake up, watch football in the hotel room until Jason's wedding, of course, and then drink and have fun, go to Broadway after the wedding.
I don't leave. Here's the deal. I don't leave my house on the weekend unless I have to. I'm not happy about having to go to a football game.
What a hermit.
Well, I work all the time. When it's Saturday and Sunday, I want to sit on my couch and I want to watch college football and I want to watch the NFL. And in an ideal world, I don't want to leave the house. Now, my kids are playing fall ball. So now every Saturday, I've got multiple baseball games going on and all that stuff. But that's like 3 miles from my house. So I will drive to the baseball park or whatever it is. Not really a stadium. I will drive there, watch the Little League, and then come back. And other than that, I don't have any desire to go anywhere. My wife's like, hey, do you want to? No, I don't want to go out. I don't want to do anything on Saturday and Sunday. I just want to sit on the couch and watch my teams lose. And ideally, I don't even want to get in my car and drive to a Titans stadium, especially not when it's 95 degrees. So there's a 0% chance that I'm meeting you for a steak dinner. I will see you the next day at the wedding.
So we'll have a steak dinner at the wedding.
Well, I have no idea what's going on at the wedding.
Is there going to be TVs at this wedding so you can watch football at least?
I don't know. This is a major issue for Jason Martin deciding to get married. Like, he's 40, all right? You've already waited until you're 40 years old to get married. Is it really going to be that big of a deal if you wait till after football season? At this point in time, she's not pregnant, all right? So it's not a shotgun wedding. If you have already waited until you're 40 to get married, is it really that big of a deal to wait 4 more months till football season ends and get married then? I mean, I'm just asking. We need to put Jason Martin on the hot seat about this. Now, he's like, well, you know, I made it on Sunday because the Titans play on a Thursday. And that's great for people who might be local to Nashville and are obsessed with the Titans. But 3 o'clock on a Sunday for a guy who works in sports in the middle of the fall, and then evidently he's just going away on his honeymoon because, like, and who are these people that just take off a full week in the middle of football season? I gave him the beach place, by the way, to use.
Nice. Well, he couldn't do it during rain or snow season because of a
big
gate.
In all honesty,
he couldn't drive to the wedding.
Danny G, you got married and divorced at a young age.
Yeah.
But if you were getting remarried – again, J-Mart's never been married, and he's 40. Is he, like, if he waited until, you know, like, let's say he could get married on the weekend between the NFC, after the NFC and the AFC and before the Super Bowl, right? That's kind of a dead week in the sporting calendar because you have the games take place and then nothing's going on that whole next week. If he got married in January, is his life really changing that much?
No. I mean, there's zero chance I would hold a wedding during football season unless the theme was wear jerseys and we're going to have flat screens and we're all going to watch football together after the ceremony.
Or she was pregnant.
Exactly.
And again, if it's a shotgun wedding, you got to get down the aisle before the bride has the baby and that's your goal. Totally understand that. J-Mart's not a shotgun wedding. So he waits 40 years and then decides to have a Sunday afternoon wedding in the middle of the NFL season. And then I've surrounded myself by people who just don't want to work. And then even he's not on the show anymore, but he's just going to take a week off in the middle of football season and go on his honeymoon? I mean, I'm giving you a hard time, but what are his employers thinking? I'm not going to employ him anymore. I'm giving you a hard time for taking off Monday. But J-Mart's getting married and then just bailing. And the other thing about this is, what percentage of people at his wedding work in sports? Like a pretty decent percentage. So he's having a fall wedding, and everybody who's showing up is not going to be able to work. And inevitably, in those afternoon games and the evening games, like, there's all sorts of craziness that goes on.
He needs to splain himself. I'm going to text him to see if he's up.
Certainly he's not going to be up. But we'll offer him the opportunity.
Yeah.
By the way, do we have people waiting still on the phones? I said I was going to take calls. What's the situation there, Dub?
Yeah, we got a handful of callers waiting to weigh in on the weekend.
All right, let me go ahead and take these calls right now because I don't want to make them wait through a break. Let's you put them in order. Let's just go through these really fast.
All right, cool. Let's go to John in Tennessee.
John, what's up?
Hey, Clay. Long time, first time. Biggest takeaways from the weekend. Number one, Memphis is still the best team in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Number two, the Saints are nothing without Drew Brees, and I say that as a Saints fan.
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, if you want to know the drop-off between top five quarterback to backup, I mean, the difference between that Saints offense with and without Brees, I don't think it's so much about Bridgewater. I think Bridgewater is a fine backup. But, I mean, the Saints are a 6-10, maybe 5-11 team, I think, without Drew Brees, and I don't think that's an exaggeration.
Exactly. And number three, Danny, I'm an EMT. I'll start an IV for you on Monday morning. You can come in and work with Clay.
Oh, that's it. That's a good call.
Nice.
I got one of those IVs, a while back. You know, you can get like the party IVs where they come and they give you an IV. I'm trying to maximize, as I'm working so much, I'm trying to maximize my energy. I don't know if it had any substantial impact. It was interesting.
Yeah, and your cover story is that you stay home all the time. And really, you go to raves and get IVs afterwards.
No, I got an IV after sitting in my house all day Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, jeez.
Who's up next, Dub?
We got Shane in New York.
Shane, what's up?
Clay?
Yes.
What's up, man? Hey, just wanted to start by saying how great the Wins and Losses podcast has been.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Especially the Joel Klatt interview is probably the best podcast I've ever heard. It was some epic stories with him and his minor league days. But I, regarding the football this weekend, college football kind of sucked on Saturday. Sunday, I just want to make quick mention before we get into Danny G's ridiculousness. You were a little hesitant on Mahomes when you were talking about ride and die, and I think he has the potential to be similar to Trout when he gets into his late 20s, as already talking about him as being the best ever.
I tweeted this yesterday. Let me read what I tweeted because I don't want to mess it up because I thought it was such a work of art. But I tweeted that, let's see, what did I say? I was saying like, of course I can't find it right now. I said basically that I believe I was upset. Here's what I tweeted. I was upset about the Titans losing to the Colts, but the chances of the Titans ever beating Patrick Mahomes for the next 15 years are zero. So I'm at peace now. Congrats, Kansas City. You have the next Tom Brady. I really do think. I mean, I think as long as he stays healthy, what is Mahomes? Like 23? Is he 24 yet? For the next, I think 15 years of his career, he's going to be Tom Brady-esque. Let me put it this way. If you told me right now you have to – he's 23. It's freaking crazy. If you told me right now I can bet $1 million, I would bet $1 million that Patrick Mahomes is going to win more than one Super Bowl in his career. That is, if there were a book out there right now, and if I had $1 million, if they give me credit, I would put $1 million down on Patrick Mahomes to win multiple Super Bowls. If you give me an out of assuming he doesn't decide to pull an Andrew Luck or get injured or something like that. So if you give me 13 years, take him to 35 even, I would put $1 million down that he's going to win multiple Super Bowls between now and 35. Anybody else out there, Dubbers?
Yeah, we got a few more. Let's go to Jeff in North Carolina.
Jeff, what's up?
Hey, Clay. Talking about Drew Brees, the reason he's staying in L.A. is because the whole team is staying in L.A. because they're playing Seattle Sunday. So the whole team's just staying on the West
Okay.
Coast.
So nobody got on the plane at all?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Is that it? All right. I didn't know they were staying on the West Coast. Still, if you're going to a West Coast hand expert, it's not a good sign. All right, who's up? Is that it?
All right, last one here. We got Brad in Arkansas.
Brad in Arkansas. What's up, Brad?
Hey, man, what's up? I just got two things out of the NFL this week. Starting with the bad, you know, the Saints and the Steelers, man, losing their quarterback, that's probably going to really hamper their season. I think Mason Rudolph is a good backup. I think Ben just needs to walk away at this point. I think his numbers went way down this last year. And then I think the Patriots win really overshadowed the AB drama because now the whole team's going to get a rape charge for what they did to the Dolphins.
First of all, let me go to the first part. You're crazy if your thought is, I want my two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback to leave so we can get to the Mason Rudolph era. All right, we got to take a break. It's Outkick. This is thanks for hanging with us here on Fox Sports Radio. My good, I went on a long segment there. We're going to have to figure out how the time works here. When we come back, I'll give you my college football top 10 after week 3 of the season. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios. Car shopping can be confusing with terms like dealer price, list price, and invoice. TrueCar shows you what other people pay for the car you want so you can recognize a good price when you're ready to buy a new or used car. Visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. All right, we got a poll question up. Poll question for Monday. More unforgivable. Jason Martin, the former producer on this show, scheduling a wedding for this upcoming Sunday at 3 o'clock Central, or Danny G taking Monday off the next day because he'll be too tired, hungover, to work the next morning. The wedding's at 3. You can go vote. That's our poll question for Monday. But next, Eddie Garcia, what's shaking?
Let's get you an update on week 2 in the NFL. Sunday night, it was the Falcons holding off the Eagles 24-20. Julio Jones, a pair of touchdown catches for Atlanta in the win. In the late action, we had the Rams beating the Saints 27-9 in a rematch of the NFC title game. LA's 2-0 to start the year. New Orleans quarterback Drew Brees knocked out of the game in the first quarter with a thumb injury. He'll see a specialist later today. Chiefs over the Raiders 28-10. Kansas City's 2-0. Bears get a field goal as time expires to stun the Broncos 16-14. Early action, Patriots dominate the Dolphins 43-0. And Antonio Brown in his first game with New England did have a touchdown catch. Patriots are 2-0. Cowboys down the Redskins 31-21. Dallas is 2-0. Dak Prescott, 3 TD passes. Russell Wilson, 3 touchdown passes for Seattle. They're 2-0 after edging the Steelers 28-26. And for Pittsburgh, quarterback Ben Roethlisberger left in the second quarter with an elbow injury. Didn't return. He'll have an MRI later today. Packers, Bills, Ravens, 49ers all win. They're all 2-0. To start the season. The Fighting Irish of Notre Dame face the Georgia Bulldogs at 8 Eastern on Saturday in our Discover Card Key matchup brought to you by Discover. Go further than ever with the Discover at Miles Card. They automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year, so $35,000 could become $70,000. Limitations apply. Discover matches for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. We'll be back to Outkick the coverage in 10 seconds, but first a word from Farmers.
At Farmers Insurance, we know there's a crucial difference between a kick drum pedal and your car's accelerator pedal. Because at Farmers, we've seen and covered it.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum. Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges, and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Now back to Clay Travis and the Geico Outkick the Coverage Studios.
All right, so early read, Danny G. You may be getting a break because of J-Mart's decision to host the wedding in the fall, which has just thrown everybody for an uproar in the comments. I've known about this Sunday afternoon wedding for a while, so I didn't know about you not coming into work on Monday. So, and Jason doesn't work here anymore, so his decisions don't really impact me that much. But early read, 75% of people think J-Mart having a Sunday wedding is way more indefensible than you taking Monday off.
Yeah, I'm reading through the comments here. Matt says, anything not on a Saturday, especially a wedding, is one of the best ways to put a bad taste in 98% of your guests' mouths. Insane inconvenience to guests, especially out-of-towners.
Yeah, J-Mart's going to wake up, and his entire mentions are just going to be ridiculing him for having a wedding in the fall. I would just reiterate, he's 40, all right? She's not pregnant. What does waiting 3 more months do to his overall calendar? 4 months, whatever it is. You could wait till right after football season, get married the first Sunday after the Super Bowl if you wanted to, and I don't think his life is going to be any different at all. Does that make sense? Like, if you have already waited till 40 to get married, 4 more months of single being single is not that big of a deal.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
And so throwing everything into an uproar, we need to get J-Mart on. I don't know how big this wedding's going to be. I don't know anything about it, and I wasn't really thinking about it very much till I saw him at the Colts-Titans game, and I didn't even realize you were coming into town until we had that conversation.
Yeah, I texted J-Mart just a couple of minutes ago to see if he's up. If he doesn't text me back, I'm going to call his phone repeatedly.
There is a 0% chance that he's going to be up while this show is going on.
But some of us have our iPhones set to emergency mode, where if the same number calls you more than twice, it'll ring even if you have your ringer off.
I didn't even know how to do that.
Oh, yeah. In fact, Scott, our boss, always tells me, hey, I have my phone set. If there's an emergency, you can get to me even though my ringer's off.
I don't even know how to do that. That sounds like high tech indeed. All right. Are we good? Can I go to break here? Have we had a long enough segment?
You have 10 seconds.
All right. We'll be next. My Outkick top 10 next on Outkick. Not a great exit.
5 seconds.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Welcome back in. Hope all of you are having a fantastic Monday wherever you may be across this country. I'm Clay Travis. We are breaking down the latest in the weekend that was in the NFL and in college football. About to be joined by Dr. David Chow to tell us the absolute latest with Drew Brees and with Ben Roethlisberger. But first, go further than ever with the Discover It Miles card. They automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year, so your 35,000 miles could become 70,000 Discover It miles. Limitations apply. Discover match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. Dr. Chow, appreciate you getting up early with us on a Monday. Usually you come on with us Thursday. But, man, we got some blockbuster injury news that we're trying to unpack here. And, you know, none of us know enough to even sound remotely intelligent here. So we appreciate you coming on. And let's start out in L.A. with Drew Brees. What did you see? What do you anticipate? What are we looking at?
Well, the bad news is he obviously injured his thumb, and it affects his grip. And if you can't grip a football, you can't even pick it up from the top side. You can't spin it to throw it or be accurate. And so the bad news is when he jammed it on Aaron Donald's hand, he likely suffered what is called a skier's thumb or ulnar collateral ligament injury in the thumb. The question is it partially torn or completely torn? And there are different outcomes for it. Either way, he's going to miss time, and we're talking weeks. The good news, though, is actually if he needs surgery, that puts a stopgap on the lost time in the return, which could be as quick as 4 to 6 weeks for a quarterback, maybe a tad bit longer. But his season is not done, so we'll just have to await the news on how long.
So worst-case scenario, you would say, for Drew Brees would be 6 weeks out, would be kind of your – assuming that it's just exactly as you kind of forecast there – 6 weeks on that that injury?
Of course, some plus minus. I have not examined him. And typically, a lot of times, this type of injury can be treated in a cast, but that would require a longer recovery. So this is a case where surgery can speed up the return.
And okay, and in terms of long range impact, like this is something where you come back and you don't have any long range impact from this.
No, you should not have any long range impact from this. There's numerous examples of people with this injury. Right now, Drew Locke with the Broncos has a similar injury, not all the way torn, and he's trying to rest it out. Last season, Andy Dalton had the exact same injury, had surgery, and his season ended with that. But it was really late in the season when he had the injury. In 2016, Jay Cutler had the injury and returned. So there are numerous examples of this. And it's more common than you think, because when you pronate your hand, when you follow through on a pass, that thumb is very exposed. You know, there are lots of examples of this injury around the league with the thumb.
All right, what are you hearing about Ben Roethlisberger? The latest report is that, according to Adam Schefter, he has to decide today whether to have surgery on his elbow or not, that he doesn't necessarily want to do it. But what does that suggest is likely at play here? Obviously, Ben Roethlisberger pulling himself out of the game against the Seahawks and now trying to figure out what makes sense going forward with that elbow.
Well, Drew Brees' recovery, of course, I haven't examined either one. This is just, it's not really off of sources. It's off my eyes and what I would call knowledge about the game and having worked in the league and as an orthopedic surgeon. Drew's going to miss some time, but his range of absence is more limited.
Yes.
Big Ben is a much wider range. Of course, the hope is a short absence related to what is presumed to be also an ulnar collateral ligament injury, but this one in the elbow. There is one in the thumb. There is one in the elbow.
I'm glad you clarified that, because I kept hearing ulnar, and I was thinking, like, am I messing this up, or is it the same kind of phrase? There's one in the elbow, and there's one in the thumb.
Correct. The thumb, what we call MCP joint, base of, near the base of the thumb, and then one on the inside of the elbow, the pitcher's ligament, the Tommy John ligament. That's where the confusion is. And for Big Ben, because that is my worry, and that's what my worry was in-game, this has a wider variety. We hope it's more like a Josh Allen last year with the Bills where he missed 4 weeks. But if he elects to have surgery on this, look at all the Tommy John examples out there in baseball. I mean, that's a year-long absence. That not only is guaranteed season-ending, it could impact the start of next season as well. The last quarterback to have this surgery publicly, I believe it was about mid to late 2000s with Jake Delhomme. It's not as common with quarterbacks as it is common with pitchers. So this one's a big deal. And if you really go back and look at the video, Clay, and I talk about this in some of my analysis at the freeprofootballdoc.com site, and we did this in-game, the way he looked over at the sideline when he first reached for his elbow was kind of a knowingly, yeah, there it is again, we talked about this kind of look. And there was a report from Diana Russini that at least one player said he'd been dealing with, quote, elbow inflammation all week at practice.
Which would suggest that this was something he was trying to play through, and then when he tweaked it in whatever method that he did, he's out, and that's a difficult situation. So if it's flaring up, a lot of times with pitchers, they really can't do their job. This seems strange to me that he would be able to even play if it's such a devastating injury for pitchers that they really have to go get it done. What do you think? I mean, like it seems surprising that he would just be able to get better by sitting out, doesn't it?
Well, here's the thing. Let's first talk pitchers versus quarterbacks. There are some differences.
Yeah, and the mound mechanics. The
mound makes a big difference. And the other thing is most throws from a quarterback do not involve, quote, a full windup or a 90 or 100% exertion. Right, there's more touch involved and what have you, so it's a little bit different motion, whereas most pitches involve more torque on the elbow than torque in a quarterback's throwing motion. So there is some differences there, but the other part of it, look at Big Ben's history. His history is to always be, for lack of a better word, and I'm dating myself, Willis Reed, right?
Yeah.
You know, moments coming through and playing through. And didn't you find it, Clay, strange that he just accepted it, went out, went to the locker room solo without any really buddy around him, yet missed the second half? And in past, when he's missed some series and his team is down, he's come back in to be the hero. And this time there was no motion to that effect. There was no acute wrap on the elbow. There was not a lot of attention. And to me, when something doesn't fully make sense on the outside to us, that just means we don't know the whole story. My suspicion is the whole story is they've talked about this. They've talked about him trying to play through. They've talked about all of these issues. And when it happened, there wasn't much discussion or evaluation to be had. And they all knew where they stood at that point. That's just my supposition, not fact. Now, of course, one thing that we'll probably be hearing next is an investigation on the Steelers regarding the injury report.
So, yeah, your point is a good one, because what was so crazy about this Roethlisberger injury and now trying to analyze its severity is none of us had any clue, at least publicly, that he had any issues that he was dealing with, because it wasn't talked about or disclosed in a substantial fashion.
Yeah, and they don't have to disclose it much. I mean, they could just list it and be nonspecific. If indeed it is true he was dealing with it all week, and with the scrutiny from the NFL, they will look into this. I'm not saying the Steelers did something wrong or did something illegal, but certainly if he ends up needing elbow surgery and there are more reports of that he dealt with it before Sunday, I think the NFL's routine is to look into it.
All right, so while we've got you, I didn't anticipate mono would come up on our injury list, but Sam Darnold is out with mono. We got a Monday Night Football game tonight. As a result, he's not able to play for the Jets and against Browns. And the reason why this is a Monday Night Football game is they wanted to set up Sam Darnold versus Baker Mayfield, and they're not going to get that. How long do you think Sam Darnold is likely to be out with this mono? What's the range there?
Yeah, Clay, we had some bad luck after the Thursday weekly appearance on you. That's right when the news broke after that. So we didn't get to discuss it. Although that does seem like about 3 weeks ago for me in terms of all
no
the
kidding.
Injuries.
Yeah.
But here's the deal with mono, and I said it immediately after the mono was announced. The big news is not that Sam Darnold announced on Thursday had mono and was going to miss Monday. The big news was that he was going to miss a lot of time. He was going to at least miss September. We'll be lucky to play in October, but pretty reliably come November we'll be able to play. That's sort of the range. That's been backed up now by some national pundits where they've actually said a, quote, 3 to 7 week range. He's not going on injured reserve. And here's the deal. First of all, mono is not a kissing disease, et cetera. But think about it very simply this way. Clay, I don't know if you in school or any of your listeners had mono.
I had mono in college.
Okay. How much time did you miss from school in college, Clay?
I missed 1 week.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I was a trooper. Yes.
You were a trooper. The average is at least 2, 3. Some people miss a month, easily a month. If you miss a month because you're not going to classes, this is the NFL. The rigors are much different. And in addition, even if Sam Darnold felt better in a week, and not everyone obviously can be Clay Travis here, but A, he's already lost at least 5 pounds. B, usually your spleen and or liver are enlarged and you are at a contact risk for laceration or rupture and internal organ injury, because your spleen or liver extend lower than the rib cage when they're enlarged. I mean, you don't have that risk when you're going to school. You certainly have it playing NFL football and quarterback for the Jets. So that's another reason that he will not, even if he felt better tomorrow, he's not playing this month because of that risk. And then there's the general malaise that happened in terms of his injury level. Look, it's Sam Darnold. He likely can be closer to the 3 week mark.
Dr. David Chow with us. I got to cut him off. He's rolling there. This is Outkick Monday edition. See ya.